806 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Listen to this. That's right. That's right. It's a Natty Light. I am drinking Natty Light. We're going to get to, more tasty beer later on in the show.
What are you trying to say about Natural Light?
No, I like Natty Light. I like Natty Light. But in the studio is Drew Bixby. You read his column in Westward, the Drunk of the Week column. He has a new book out, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. He's going to be at the Tattered Cover tonight at 7:30 p.m. For a book event. We were just talking. He cannot give away Natty Light at the book event.
Just assume the Tattered Cover's not interested in that.
Yeah, they probably are interested, but you might get in trouble if you do that.
Yeah.
But we are drinking Natty Light. It's kind of like it's like soda, sort of. It's like
right.
It's like beer soda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, it's just a metaphor.
Yeah. I mean, it's a metaphor. That's right. And I'm looking at this book right now, and let's see what bar is this on the cover? This is on Colfax, right?
Yeah, this is the Satire Lounge.
Okay, and this is in one of the bars, obviously, in your book.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, about the Satire Lounge, I mean, Satire is part of the Pete's Empire, Pete's Kitchen, etc. Satire's been around for a long, long time. And over the summer, while this book was going to press, they closed and completely remodeled. So you walk into the Satire Lounge now, and it's like stainless steel.
It's not a dive bar.
It's not a dive bar.
Oh man!
No, but it's already on the cover. So
it still looks divey outside. It still looks divey. At least the
well,
outside.
It's got that beautiful Art Deco sign. I think
yes.
it's a gem on
cool.
Colfax.
You know, let's start with a question of definition.
Okay.
What in your mind makes a dive bar? What's ruled out and what's ruled in? Like, is there a disqualifying thing? Like, you just can't be a dive bar if you have X.
No, one of the things I feel like a lot of people would assume would be on that list would be giant, beautiful, flat panel televisions. You walk into a bar and it's got a big, beautiful television. It can't be a dive. And that's just not true anymore. I thought about that over and over while being in these bars, and many of them have beautiful flat screen TVs. And it's kind of like, when your TV goes dead, what are you going to do? You're not going to purchase an old tube television. You're going to upgrade. And so, I struggled with that at first. I was like, oh, they got flat panels.
It can't be a dive.
It can't be a dive. But it doesn't matter. It can't. It can't matter anymore. As far as the rest of the definition, there's a page in the book on page 13. Titled Dive Bar Decor, and I wrote, if it ain't got at least half of the following, it probably ain't a dive. And so a lot of this is indicative. So, rather than trying to sum up a dive bar in a sentence, I feel like you look at this list and you look at things like opens at 7 a.m., wood paneling and carpet, been around for 20 years, low overhead.
Payphones, I love that.
Payphones, ice cubes in the urinals because the plumbing doesn't work, free snacks and popcorn on the bar.
Let me turn to the product that a dive bar serves. I want to ask this question as somebody who really has gotten into really valuing the taste of beer. I say as I drink Natty Light. Can you get good beer, some of the really good beers at a dive bar?
You can, but it's rare.
It's rare.
I feel like you find it in the dive bars with younger owners who are trying to keep up with the Joneses. And so they will get into bed with a distributor and suddenly they'll have something from Oscar Blues in the bar. And you walk in and you're like, a microbrew at a dive bar? For the most part, no. Lennon Bill's bar on South Broadway, I feel like it's one of those icons in Denver that people drive past and see but have never gone in. The options for draft beer at Lennon Bill's are Natural Light and Natural Light.
Now you are the that's ridiculous. Yeah. You are the columnist, the Drunk of the Week columnist for Westward.
That's right.
How long have you been doing that?
My 2.5 years ago.
Okay. How did you get into that?
What
was the tryout like?
I moved to Denver in 2005. I haven't even been here that long, and I immediately started freelancing for Westward. I was doing the 9 day section and doing some features, and they had a columnist named Patrick Osborne who was doing that column, and he was leaving, and so the position was open, and Patty Calhoun, who's the editor, and Dave Ferrer, who's the backbeat editor, they thought of me, and they kind of came to me and were like, I don't know, do you want this? I've seen you at Westward holiday parties. We know that you like to drink.
Did it have to be? That's what I was alluding to. Did it have to be sort of? Was there a liquor holding test or threshold? Maybe.
That's the thing. That's the thing that's weird about the column and its title, "Drunk of the Week," is I don't necessarily get drunk every time I go out to write that column. I go out to a bar and I have some drinks, and sometimes I have 3 and sometimes I have 13. So sometimes I'm writing about my misadventures and how I only barely remember them, but a lot of the times I'm just writing about the actual place. So they didn't bring me into a room and see
how much you could hold
and see who could stay on their chair longer.
Again, in studio with us is Drew Bixby. His new book, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Driving in the Mile High.
Oh, no, drinking.
I read it wrong. Drinking and diving. Diving. No, not drinking and driving. Drinking and diving in the Mile High City. You can find the book's website at denversbestdivebars.com. He's going to be at the Tatter Cover tonight at 7 p.m. We're drinking Natty Light, the staple of dive bars. I'm actually looking in my neighborhood here, and okay. My neighborhood's east. And
okay.
I know I was out right outside the Ram Lounge.
Okay.
It seems to me Colfax. Is Colfax like the home base of dive bars?
You know, at Colfax and Broadway, for sure. If you wanted to do a bar crawl of epic proportions and only hit dive bars, you'd be best to do Colfax or Broadway.
Okay. Kind of a right angle. You could go east on
yeah,
Colfax and then
you
go
could.
South.
I don't think anyone could possibly hit every single dive bar, even if they started at Colorado and traveled, you know, west on Colfax and then south on Broadway. I'm pretty sure they would die somewhere around... Evans.
That's right. When you write and when you pick out bars to go to and test them, I mean, how about this? I'd like an example of a bar that you considered for evaluation for its dive qualities,
uh-huh.
And then didn't make it,
and then didn't go in the book. I would say that the bulk of the bars that fell into that category were the ones that were primarily music venues. So I made what I felt at the time was a very difficult decision to not include music venues. So I didn't include the High Dive. I didn't include the Larimer Lounge. I didn't include Bender's Tavern. All of these places, I mean, they're absolutely dive bars, but they're the type of places that open at 4 or 5 or 6 where you can buy tickets online for the shows where there's music 6, 7 nights a week. And in my mind, I had enough other dive bars to include where in the front matter I just said, you know, these places are wonderful, but they're music venues. They're not dive bars.
And I'm looking here in the book, and you have for each bar, a hipster scale and a dive bar rating. Tell
That's
us
right.
about those.
Okay, so the rating is for how divey it is. It goes on a scale of 1 to 5 bottles of beer, with 5 bottles denoting the diviest. And so the descriptors that I came up with is, you know, 1 bottle is your mother would be proud. You could walk into this bar. You could bring your mother to this bar. 2 bottles, your mother would approve. 3 bottles, you know, your mom's comfortable in most situations. I brought my mother to a couple of 3 bottle dive bars when she comes to visit. 4 bottles, your mother raised you better than this. And 5 bottles is your mother might be propositioned by
so
a
math
head.
Give me some 5. let's look at some. Here's one. Okay. I'm looking at a five dive bar rating. The Lion's Lair
on Colfax.
On East Colfax.
Yeah, you know, the Star Bar downtown on Larimer, right 1 block from the ballpark is a five bottle. Bar, you know, it's actually karaoke cafe, but Bar is a 5 bottle. These are places where you walk in and you're nervous. And you know, after a while I started walking in and not feeling nervous. I just learned that you can walk in, you can walk to the bar, you keep your head down, you order a drink, you tip well, you don't bother people, and it's no big deal.
I noticed what's not in here, actually. I wonder if you evaluated it. The Mozart Lounge.
Mm.
Why did the Mozart Lounge not? That's right near where I live.
Because the Mozart Lounge, in the process of researching the book, closed, remodeled, and became a gay piano lounge.
It did?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
How long ago?
It happened probably 9 months ago. Yes, I was in the Mozart Lounge, and I'm talking with the bartender.
I actually saw Patty Calhoun. She goes there every year for Mozart's birthday, right?
That's right, yep. And I'm talking to the bartender, and I'm telling him what I'm doing. I'm here. I'm writing this book. And he's like, oh, yeah, here's the thing. And he tells me this is happening. I was like, well, I'll take my tab now.
Oh, man. Again, in studio with us is Drew Bixby. He's the author of the new book, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. He's the columnist for Westward Drunk of the Week. You can find the book's website, denversbestdivebars.com. He'll be at the Tatter Cover tonight at 7:30. It's the Tatter Cover on Colfax?
Colfax, yeah.
On Colfax, well, appropriately.
Yeah, well, and that was my thought. I could do it downtown, but I figured it'd be better to walk to a dive after the reading on Colfax.
Absolutely.
I got a question for you, Drew. Okay. Are there any dive bars in lower downtown?
Yes, there are, actually. And in fact, the weekend that we released the book, we did a lower downtown dive bar crawl. So what we did is we started at El Chapultepec. Right, legendary.
Is that kind of a jazz bar?
Yeah. I mean, they're great place. They're open at 9 a.m. They're serving $1.50 draws.
I love that place.
That place is great. They got great Mexican food too. Man.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we went from El Chapultepec, and then we went to Star Bar, which is right there, and the old Curtis Street Bar, and then Bar.
Curtis Street Bar. That makes the criteria that the Mexican restaurant there on like 20th and Curtis.
That's right. They also serve food though. Yeah, I don't know anybody.
And they have music now too. I think
they
there as
do.
Well.
They do on the weekends. They do bands. I don't know anyone who's eating food
kind
at
of
old
a
Curtis
seedy,
Street
you know,
Bar.
A seedy dive bar. I like it though.
It's definitely a dive.
I've been to this bar. Turk and I have been to this bar together. That was the last time I got really drunk. We were at Sancho's. Sancho's is
my
in
favorite
here.
Bar on the planet.
That is Turk's favorite bar. Sancho's again, another one.
I had to include Sancho's. I had to give the hippies a nod. That place, for most people's criteria, wouldn't be a dive because you don't get the old men, the third shifters, the lifetime drinkers aren't necessarily there. But the place is run down in a good way.
Yeah, it is. Let's go check out
their bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Stick around. 8:17 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're drinking Natty Light. We got Drew Bixby in studio. He's the author of Denver's Best Dive Bars. After the break, if anybody wants to call up and have any questions about any of the dive bars or any bar-related questions, he writes the Drunk of the Week column, 303-713-7600. And up next, I'm going to ask Drew Bixby about whether any racial, ethnic kind of groupings are any bars like particularly this is your X bar or your Y bar, this is where this kind of person goes or this kind of person goes, or maybe there's a religious element to it. I'm just curious if different dive bars, if there are differentials between them. We'll get to that after a traffic update with John Turk.
I'd like a keg of beer, please.
You don't say.
Yeah, how much is that?
Hearing ID, sonny. You little bastard just won't give up, will you? Listen, no ID, no goddamn beer. Can't you get that through your thick skull?
Give me a keg of beer.
And these.
Bonus points if anybody can name the movie clip where that came from. Bonus points. Bonus points. Anybody who can instant message us. We don't have any prizes to give away, but bonus points if you can name the movie. And that was, I'll give you a hint, that was Michael J. Fox who said that. One of my most favorite movies growing up. And again, in studio with us, Drew Bixby is the author of the new book, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving. In the Mile High City, not drinking and driving. And before the break, I said I wanted to ask you about, I guess, are there any demographic qualities to any of these beers, any of these bars? I mean, you said before, we just talked about Sancho's, like hippies go to Sancho's. Mm-hmm. Like, give us some idea of some of the dive bars where, if there's any demographic distinction where if you're this is the dive bar you want to go to.
Okay. The easiest way to start is to play the race card. There were a number of bars that I went into where really I was the only white guy in the bar. And it was that Blues Brothers moment where I open the door and the jukebox scratches and everyone turns and looks at me.
It's Animal House.
Yeah, Animal House. Yes, thank you. Right. And I remember, I walked into a bar called the Scoreboard Lounge. And that exact moment happened where the record scratches and everyone looks at me. And I actually walked to the bar and I looked at the bartender. And I said, can I get a drink? And she was like, of course you can get a drink. This is a bar, isn't it? And I ended up staying there for like 3 hours sitting with the owner, Willie. And we're talking for hours. And when I leave, he's like, don't stay gone so long. I mean, so, there were a number of bars where I walked in and was like, well, this could get uncomfortable. And it didn't. And I would say that the next demographic is mostly Latino bars. There were plenty of bars where I was the only gringo in the bar as well. And then, you know, we were talking about the rating scales and how each one of the bars in this book is rated on a scale, not only just of diviness for beer bottles, but of 1 to 3 ironic mustaches, depending on whether hipsters are there. There are a number, probably a dozen bars in this book that have sort of been adopted by the 20-something urban hipster. Because they're cheap, because the overhead's low, because they have a jukebox that's still to compact discs, and they've made it their own. I would say that it's, you know, by race, by age, and creative status, by whether you wear Birkenstocks and smell like patchouli.
Well, I gotta be honest. I met my wife in one of the most grotesque dive bars, maybe in the United States. I mean, I really mean that. It was called the Raven in Washington D.C. in this kind of sketchy neighborhood called Mount Pleasant. And I should ask, do dive bars typically exist in kind of sketchy neighborhoods? I mean, East Colfax can be kind of sketchy.
It can be kind of sketchy from if your view is from the suburbs, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
Colfax. You know, and I think one of the best examples of this is the Squire Lounge. You're standing at the corner of Colfax and Williams, and you know, it's a nonstop carnival in front of the Squire Lounge on that corner.
But, I guess with Colfax, the farther east you go, the more sketchy it gets.
Sure. And I don't know whether this is because I'm male, because I'm in my late 20s. My wife would say different, but I've never felt scared for my safety.
No, but it's still a little bit like, I forget how many blocks, what is it, 12 blocks east of Colorado.
Okay.
East of Colorado on Colfax. I live right around there.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you know, I mean, if I was a woman,
yes.
Right.
I wouldn't want to walk home alone. No, there. But I would say that probably the most violence happens a block or two off Colfax.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. One block where it's darker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that's what I mean. I feel safe within all those lights and the glow of the liquor stores and stuff. I mean, Playboy years and years ago called it, you know, the U.S.'s most wicked street, Colfax.
Did they really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd believe it. I mean, I got to be honest. I think Colfax is one of the coolest parts of the city.
I agree.
It's just a very – there's a lot of character to it.
I agree.
It's a lot of small – you know, there's no – well, I don't want to say there's no chains, but it's kind of original.
I mean, you drive and it's like block of seemingly sketchy, block of Irish snug, trendy, block of seemingly sketchy.
The funniest thing is, it's like, and it's it, you're right. Right near where I live, there's like, you've got like a gun store, and then you've got like a place to buy like pot paraphernalia.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like sort of two conflicting cultures. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
yeah. And then there'll be a Qdoba. And you're like, what's going on here?
Exactly.
I mean, if you're that far east, David, one of the better bars for me is the Hangar Bar, which is, it's east of Quebec. It's just east of Quebec. And it used to serve the Lowry Air Force Base.
Yeah.
And I mean, that place is incredible. It's tiny. Now they're starting to do blues bands on Saturday nights. I mean, it's a great little joint.
Yeah, very cool. All right, let's take a call. Again, in the studio with us is Drew Bixby. His new book, Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. We're drinking Natty Light this morning, and he's going to be at the Tattered Cover on Colfax, appropriately, at 7:30 tonight. I'm sure you can go there and then hit a dive bar, one of them in his book. Let's go to the phones. Terry in Denver. Terry, you're on with Drew Bixby on AM 760.
Oh, hi, David.
Hi,
Drew.
Good.
Hi.
Listen, I wanted to mention a bar that I know you've mentioned, Drew, in your book. And it's, it used to be called Don's Club Tavern on 6th and off Washington, Washington Clarkson, right? And it has a big mixed drink sign. And I and my husband and all our friends a long time, longer than I care to almost admit, would go in there regularly. We're regulars and saw so many changes, you know, but we kind of remained the pillars of society or something in the bar. And now I think that would qualify for one of those ones that has turned into a hipster, you know, like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And let me follow on that your comment, Terry, and just ask this question, which is, how many, I guess, dive bars, maybe that's not a number, but are there a lot of bars that are dive bars that have become not dive bars, like really just sort of gone in a like they've been so revamped that they're not even cool anymore, they're not even, you know, dive bars anymore? I mean, how big a trend is that?
Well, to me, it seems like a big trend, and I'm not a bar goer anymore.
Yeah, like the gentrification of the bars. Like,
right, I'm not a bar goer anymore, and I don't even know if it's necessarily a bad thing, because you can really only drink and be a denizen of one of those for so long in your life. Like, I'm 57, right? So a new generation has got to come in.
That's right.
And, you know, with their own pretensions and...
Well, that's really interesting, Terry, that you called and mentioned Don's. And the thing that happened with Don's is it's pretty simple. Don died. And then what happened is Don's, you know, Club Tavern, Don's Mixed Drinks, it was going to close. And the Little Pub Company, which I've written about a lot of the bars that the Little Pub Company owns in my column, and I really respect what they do, they came in and they saved it. But in the process of saving that bar, they decided that it was time to remodel the bathrooms. And they decided that it was time to attract a younger crowd and make the upgrades that were necessary to keep it relevant. And so the result of that is the college crowd. And so, Don's does have a hipster element, but I think stronger than that, and some other bars would fall into this category, like the Candlelight Tavern, you get the college kids. They come on Thursday nights and Friday nights because it's cheap.
Right near Thai Basil.
Yes.
Candlelight, I've never been in. It looks so cool. And I wonder about this question. I've always wondered about this. It seems to me that, like, things become cool. They can, if they suck for long enough, right, if they sort of sustain their suckiness for long enough, they suddenly become like retro cool at like some point. Like,
they're cool because they suck.
They're cool because they suck.
That's the irony.
That's the irony. And the thing is, it's like if you're around and you're sucking for 5 years, you get no retro cool. 10 years, no. But like it's like 15, 20 years, things that start to suck, their suckiness starts to become like this character. This like it becomes character.
Uh-huh. Character.
I feel like that's got to be kind of something with dive bars. Like, they for years and years, they're like a joke and nobody likes them. And then suddenly it's like, wow, you've sucked for so long that you're awesome for sucking.
Yeah. Yeah, I read a really great article in The New Yorker about a bar in New Orleans that, you know, after Katrina stayed open, and then the owner died, and it was this staple in the neighborhood, and they had this party when the owner died, and the people who were there were mostly lifelong New Orleans residents, but there was this whole demographic of young kids who came in who were like, this place is so great because it's so run down.
It's so gross.
And they were cleaning it out. I mean, it had flood damage, and they were piling up all the junk outside for the dumpsters to come, for the Army Corps to come drag away, and people were picking through it. They're
that's
like, this is the story of this bar, and I want a piece of it.
I feel like that's like the whole antiques business.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the whole theory of the antiques business. Again, in studio, this is Drew Bixby. He's the author of Denver's Best Dive Bar. He's going to be at the Tatter Cover on Colfax at 7:30 tonight. By the way, we've gotten a couple of your instant messages. Yes, that clip we let in with... And I'm reading down here. Jim, Paceology, Chris, and Greg T.
And several callers got
and
it correct
Schubert
as well.
And several callers got right. The clip is from Teen Wolf, the famous scene from Teen Wolf, where Michael J. Fox tries to get a keg of beer, and then he turns on the wolf. We'll go take another call here. Let's go to Phil in Denver. Phil, you're on AM 760.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
You're doing a great job. We're sorry to lose Jay, but you've just done a great job.
And hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome topic. So the gentrification, there's a bar called Billy's Inn.
Yeah, good example.
44th and Lowell. And when they redid the place, and they did a nice job, the story was that they pulled up 13 layers of flooring, and they had tiled over carpeting twice.
Oh, my. Are you kidding?
But, yeah, you know, and it was a dump, and we used to go there, and it was a great place to go. And then they fixed it up, and it's still a great place to go. But
13 but I, layers of flooring with carpet. That's gross.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Billy's is one of those bars where, you know, people, friends who've lived here all their life were like, oh, you got to go check out Billy's. And I walked into Billy's and was like, oh, this isn't a dive anymore.
No, but now you get lobster tacos.
But, you know, is that necessarily a bad thing, right?
Yeah, let me ask you that question. And, Phil, thanks for the call, man. Let me ask you this question. How many places did you go on recommendations that were, oh, this place is a great dive bar, and then you go in and you're like, no, it's not divey enough?
Well, lots of places. I mean, I've only lived in Denver for 5 years, and so, you know, to write this book, I had to call upon all the people I've met who are lifers, who are Colorado natives, and say to them, I don't want to screw this up. You know, I've only been here 5 years.
Right.
I don't even deserve to write this book.
Right.
So, I would have these meetings of friends at bars, and we'd meet, and I'd be like, all right, you know, I'd make lists, and they'd be like, you got to try this place, this place, and this place. And I'd go into them, and it'd been so long since they'd been there that it already remodeled, new owners. They'd started new, and it's like, well, I had a beer and I left. It's like, this isn't a dive
not
anymore.
A dive bar.
No.
I wonder, is drinking at a dive bar. Again, you write the Drunk of the Week column for Westward. Are there bars that have that make? We talked about the beer and how there's not a lot of bars where you can get good beer. What about good mixed drinks? Like this place has got the best martini, or this place has got a good Manhattan. I mean, are there any places that do, even though they're in a dive, that actually do the drinks really well, or even have unique drinks, like to their own bar?
You know, by and large, I think what I found is in the majority of these dives, if you asked for a martini or a Manhattan, you'd get laughed at.
Okay.
Now, you get places that are notorious for how stiff their mixed drinks are. A great example of that is the Lancer Lounge.
Although, in fairness to your point, there is a picture of a martini
in the satire
on the front of your book and on the Satire Lounge sign.
You know, I've never been a martini drinker, so I never asked for one. But it's the type of thing where you walk in and you can see every liquor bottle available to you, and there are no mixers.
Yeah.
But stiff mixed drinks, I would say, is really what's de jour in dive bars. It's like, you know, you're getting two pours for one, and it costs $2.
What about, and my last question, because we got to run here, but my last question for you. Arcade games at dive bars.
Mm-hmm.
Any recommendations for where the arcade games are particularly good? And by good, I put that in quotes, meaning like old, retro. I'm talking Pac-Man. I mean, are there any places that have some cool places, like for people who like to go and drink and play? You know, I used to get into, I've been into the, not the Golden Tee, you know,
the bowling,
the physical one where you, it's like shuffleboard on a long table. What's that called? Turk will
it's
know.
It's called shuffleboard.
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 Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, yeah, but it's like tabletop shuffleboard.
It's long and you've got the metal pucks.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, shuffleboard. Shuffleboard is, I think, my favorite bar game. And, you know, the Squire Lounge, the Candlelight has shuffleboard. Those are the places where I play shuffleboard. As far as, you know, Pac-Man, Ms. Galaga, not really. Retro arcade games, you know, vintage arcade games, not really. The Campus Lounge has a lot of really great video games going on. And what I found that was so interesting is double-up poker machines. So these are 50, 75-year-old machines that are for amusement only, where it's a quarter and you play poker and you don't win anything. And those are in places like the Rosamia Inn and the Sidewinder.
So you're not betting, you're just playing.
You're just playing. But it was like a thing in Denver where I kept seeing them in dive bars wondering, you know, what was the time when this was the greatest game ever?
Well, I guess there was a time. Again, the book is Denver's Best Dive Bars, Drinking and Diving in the Mile High City. The author, Drew Bixby, he is the columnist for Westward, Drunk of the Week columnist. He will be at the Tatter Cover tonight, 7:30, at the Tatter Cover, appropriately, on Colfax. Drew, thanks for the Natty Light.
David, can I say one more thing?
Fire away.
We got an instant message, though, about the old Curtis Street Bar. We had mentioned the food, and I had said, I don't know anyone who eats there. And this person's like, the food is great. And Turk had said, oh, the green chili is amazing. I wanted to say that I know Costa, who owns that bar. And it is a wonderful bar, and I personally have never eaten the food. But Turk, can you speak to the food?
I can speak to it, man. I eat there a lot.
Okay.
Me and my brother go and eat Mexican food there a lot. And their green chili is some of the best in town.
I mean, food in dive bars is just one of those things that's not that common, so
yeah,
I never
exactly,
did it.
Exactly.
I was always
no,
in for
really
a few
Mexican
beers.
Food.
So I don't want to disparage old Curtis Street Bar in any way. I love that drink.
And that's you had to make that clear. That's absolutely fair. Again, the book, Denver's Best Dive Bars. We got an instant message here. I'll read it to you. This is pretty funny. This is from Kamel. 1 to 4 beers at a sitting, a fixation on beers and dive bars. Maybe you ought to go across the hall and have a conversation with Pete Boyles about addiction and radio hosts. Very nice.
Yeah, I had a response for that person.
That's brutal, man. That is brutal. You know, if you can't have a good time on a Friday,
when can
you have a good time? Drew, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man. Anytime you want to come on and talk about anything, just give us a call.
Thank
okay,
you.
Man? It's good seeing you. 8:37 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, from Natty Light and dive bars to the chief executive of Colorado. Up next, Governor Bill Ritter in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Don't say that we don't cover a lot of ground on this show. Now.